Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome to this week's podcast. So today we just wanted to discuss with you five super simple things that you can do to support a healthy relationship with your child and food, and also with each other, actually, and how this really is super important for picky eaters particularly.
So we kind of want to say these things are really simple, but don't underestimate them. You know, like they just are life-changing. And form the foundation for your kids' relationship with food.
And they're not only good for averting picky eating behaviours, like I said, but they can be fun and actually develop your relationship beyond food as well. So
first one we think is take your kids to the shops. I know that sounds counterintuitive.
Very counterintuitive when they're little anyway.
And obviously make sure you're well rested, well fed. So maybe you get up, you've had brekkie, and then you go to the shops. And the whole thing around going to the shops is to show them different foods and to get them involved in food. Just doesn't turn up like it's kind of
takes the mystery out of it appearing on the table. You know, if they're involved in that process of how it actually gets to the table.
And so much happens with shopping. Like you meet other people, you socially engage, which is massive. Again, like I've said over and over, we're wired for that relating, and we want our kids from an early age to get used to just seeing us kind of engage with people they don't know. So the cashier, hey, how are you doing? And to kind of seeing us be kind with other people. And even as they get older, for them to hand the money over or for them to.
My kids used to love doing that.
And I find, I don't know about you, but as my kids got older, it was no big deal to go and get a loaf of bread.
100%.
Or just to go and ask a question. Or to, like, because we'd always done it. But the other piece is shopping is a skill, right? Like, and I think we don't get taught it at school. And if your kids don't come to the shops with you, how do they learn that?
100% Absolutely. I know my daughter has witnessed, like, friends who don't know how to do things that are just second nature to her, and they're only second nature because I've taught her, you know, like just simple things like you were saying with conversing. You know, she has friends who aren't able to converse and ask for what they want at a restaurant, for example. And it's because, again, they have never, ever had to actually do that. But, I mean, the one real piece of gold that I feel that shopping offers is actually, as I said, that exposure to foods, particularly to foods that kids are resistant to. So we'll use vegetables as an example because it is, we haven't spoken about vegetables so far on the podcast, which I find amazing. We've spoken about meat, but not vegetables. So, you know, if veggies or particular veggies are something they are resistant to, shopping is a great opportunity for you to get them invested in those items without them actually, without any pressure whatsoever for them to be expected to eat it. Which is perfect. It's like the perfect way to get your kids to relate to something, as I said, without any pressure. So that could look like, you know, a treasure hunt when you're in the shopping center. So looking for items, looking for, you know, who can spot the carrots or who can spot the radish, who can count how many potatoes we put into the bag. And, you know, when they're a bit older, you might hold the bag open and they count the potatoes into the bag. Or, you know, when they're old enough to do it themselves, you can give them the bag and they can go off and actually do that themselves. But, you know, any kind of involvement with food, as I said, particularly foods that they're resistant towards, is important. So,
sorry, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of, you know, them seeing other people grabbing the Brussels sprouts or the carrots and kind of normalizing that,
other people are shopping for them. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other advantage of actually getting them involved in shopping is it makes the process a whole lot more enjoyable for both of you. They're not whinging and complaining that they're bored or that they're ready to go home. If you make it exciting, like you can make it as exciting and entertaining as, you know, as possible. And that's the important part about, you know, being well rested and well fed.
Yes.
Because if either of you are not within your window of tolerance, which is something that we're going to talk about on one podcast, because that was a game changer for me, understanding window of tolerance. Yeah. But if you're not, you know, feeling good, it can become disastrous. We all know that. I don't need to go into details about that.
Yeah.
So the second thing I think that's super important is if there's anything at all that you can grow, it's amazing how engaging that actually is for kids. They love to grow stuff, don't they?
They do, they do. And even stuff like, you know, green beans that I think if your kids didn't, if you didn't grow them, kids kind of reject that stuff.
Yes.
But when you're growing them and they're cutting them and just having a bite of them and growing them is really powerful.
Yeah.
But even in small pots.
Yes. Hey, even like, it could be, even if it is just like one pot and you grow strawberries or a tomato bush, definitely. I was really lucky when my kids were little that I had two huge big veggie patches. And I really do feel, particularly with my youngest, because my eldest was a bit older, but just from when he was born pretty much was exposed to food growing in the garden, basically. So I think that's a big part of why he is such an accepting eater. Like he's got such an incredible palate, way better than my daughter.
Yeah.
And I do believe that growing things has really, really helped. So, you know, we don't want to put you under any more pressure. If you are not able to grow, then obviously going to the farmer's market or going, as I said, it makes the shopping piece probably even more important. And the other things we're going to talk about are even more important. So don't stress if this is not something that's possible for you. But a funny story with my son, actually, we used to grow edible flowers. And so I invited him every time we're in the garden to just pick what he wanted and eat it and, you know, eat it. And he would pick the flowers, he'd pick everything because it was all kind of edible. We were at Bunnings one day and walked through the plant department. And I can remember it, he grabbed a petunia, which is not an edible flower, and shoved it in his mouth. And I was like, trying not to be alarmist because I didn't want to frighten him from these things. But it was just normal for him to do that. And then I had to explain to him that not all flowers and plants are edible, so you do need to be a little careful with doing that. But, yeah, it's just that growing just helps to, again, normalize foods before they hit the table.
And where it comes
from.
And that they can have some agency. They can help create the food. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just takes the mystery out of the produce.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, if you can't grow food, one thing that you can do is you can talk about where food is grown.
Yes.
You know, again, even though we grew food, we still used to talk a lot about just simple things like, is this growing on a tree, on a bush, above ground, below ground, just the basics. It doesn't need to be anything too complicated or detailed, but just the basics can really help.
So something else is to cook
together. I'm definitely passionate about.
Although
having said that, to be honest, you probably might have had your kids in the kitchen more than I would have, because I am a competent cook. I tend to just get head down, get the job done, and
what
my kids
saying?
Maybe feel, I know. As a less confident cook, no, I'm only joking. I wouldn't say that actually cooking with my kids was my strong suit, because I do like control and it's kind of my domain.
Yeah.
But I tried my hardest when it comes to, I think I had it in my head that my kids, if cooking with my kids meant mess, it meant having for them having to be in the kitchen with me from start to finish. And when I let go of that mindset, everything changed. Because cooking, one thing we want to make really clear is cooking with your kids is not a start to finish process, is it?
No, that's so important you say that.
Yeah.
You're making me think, bringing back memories of Eva and a friend and baking cookies from the start to the finish and how we'd all be exhausted by the end.
Totally.
And I think I actually, it took the joy out of it for her.
Yeah, 100%.
Compared to just getting them to chop something up. So I taught my kids to use knives pretty early and taught them how to, cut things and
stirring something, or even if you don't feel, confident with them perhaps cutting at this point, you chop it all up and ask them to put, again, the foods that they're resistant to. So if they're not a fan of salads, I definitely use this with my son, who was averse to salads in his early years.
Yeah.
I would get him involved. So I would get him to spin the greens in the salad spinner, which he loved doing, and then just upend them into the bowl.
Yeah.
If I chopped up tomatoes and radish or capsicum or whatever, I'd get him to pick those things up and say, make the salad look pretty, and he'd put them all around in the bowl.
Yeah.
And then when we sat down to eat, we talk about the salad that Jesse helped make.
That's a big piece, isn't it?
Totally.
Actually really bringing at the dinner table, kind of really acknowledging how much they helped. And then they get that kind of sense of worth.
Yes. And inviting them, would you like to taste what you've made?
Yes.
And leaving it at that.
Yes. I know there's a really important developmental stage, and it's called industry versus inferiority.
Yeah,
and it's that when kids learn that they can do things and contribute, how important it is for their self-esteem.
Yeah,
and so it's super important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, just small contributions. You know, cooking doesn't mean
putting the salt on. Hey, sprinkling literally the pepper.
Exactly. Literally that. Yeah. Shaking. The salad dressing.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. It's just they've helped in the process and acknowledging that process.
Yeah.
I think, marketing to your kids, the food manufacturers do a great job of marketing to our kids, and we don't do the same thing. And, there's no marketing budget for fruit and vegetables or protein generally. So it's up to us to market, and we have spoken about this, but, talking in terms of food not necessarily being healthy or good for them, because that's immediately where we go, because we want them to eat healthy whole foods.
Yeah.
But to a child, unless they've been seriously unwell in their lifetime, they have no perspective on health.
Very true. Yeah.
So, you need to market to their sweet spots. So, I know when my daughter was younger, she was obsessed with fairies. So we would talk about certain foods being fairies' favourites. This is fairies' favourites. Or, my son, when he went through his dinosaur phase, it was all about, dinosaurs love eating grass and lettuce and anything green. That's what makes them strong and powerful.
Yeah.
And just those little hints, those little tips.
Gosh,
isn't it?
I remember my mum saying carrots, will give you eagle eyes.
Yeah.
And we all wanted to be able to
able to see,
have these eagle eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, whatever it is, as I said, my kids' sweet spot has evolved over as they've grown. It's not the same. It's not something that stays the same. We went through fairies, went through dinosaurs, went through superheroes.
Running fast.
Totally. Academic performance, long hair, long glowing hair, skin as they've gotten older, having good skin.
Yeah.
So, there's more to the
hormones
sweet spot.
Even.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And, look, the last thing I think is so important, and you're best to speak to this point, but just not bringing food into the emotional arena.
Yes. So that means just not having any agenda, not making any food positive or negative. If you're feeling exhausted, if you've got no capacity, don't bring new foods.
Yes.
Don't, don't invite your kids to help you to cook that day. Don't take them shopping. But yeah, as much as possible, we don't want to link food with emotion
or that, stress, yeah, particularly or stress. Negative emotion, I think.
Yeah, yep. One that, you know, it reduces our ability to digest.
Yes.
But two, it just links food to stuff that we don't want food linked to for our kids.
Yeah, and it's a huge subject, to be honest, and it is something that we will break down in subsequent podcasts is the way that food does enter the emotional arena, because it's very easy for that to happen, isn't
it? Yeah, totally.
But it's probably beyond the scope of this. So, you know, hopefully those little tips will just give you a few little small strategies that you can go away, you know, from today and have some actionable things that you can start. Just one thing, just pick one thing, start small, pick one thing, decide to invite your child to find the vegetable that they're refusing to eat next time you go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
That's it.
And remember, like, it's so short.
Yes.
It's so short. Like, I look at my kids now, one adult, one nearly an adult, and it's like, man, it flies by. I know everyone says that, but it really
does. It really does.
So enjoy those moments. Mm. Enjoy the moments of them wanting to be with you, wanting and being interested in what you're saying. Yeah. And, really enjoy being a mum or a dad or a carer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Such a gift.
It is. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next week.
Cool. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.